It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
We are doing this every Tuesday. They need to come hang out with Mooch and the missus.
That is called fascism. Okay, he is a fascist leader.
He's his own worst enemy. He's creating his own problems. You know, he's like one of those people who can't get out of their own way.
I don't want to be one of those Trump haters.
Okay,
I just want to make...
Everyone is a product of their upbringing and their personal loyalties. I'm a human being, and I probably got overtaken by the excitement of him winning.
The minute you called me to say, boom, as soon as I got that, boom, I called you right back.
Anyway, you lose the argument. All the ladies out there.
My mother's like, why are you cursing so much? I'm like, Ma... Where do you think I learned it from?
We do this podcast. I go into the city. We have dinners together or we'll travel. We spend time to be together as a couple and a family and as business partners. And I feel like it really helps us.
You still love me?
I do.
Okay.
Do you still love me?
Very much.
Okay. I don't know if you have,
very much my liberal, hot wife.
Hey, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Happy rainy Tuesday in New York. It's the missus here. So I'm home today, recovering from a minor surgery, so I might sound a little bit different to you guys, but it's still the old me. I just have a little bit of a stuffy nose. And the Mooch happens to be far, far away in Saudi Arabia.
Mooch?
And, yeah, there's no Mooch. It's just the missus. So I'm going to be filling everybody in, all of our listeners in, on the news of the week and covering some interesting stories and talk about a little fun stuff here and there, some hot topics that are apolitical. And I'm going to rope in Uncle Neil, our producer, every once in a while. Uncle Neil, are you there?
Yeah, I am. How's it going, Mrs. Mooch?
Do you want to take the Mooch's role today? You want to sit in his seat and be Mooch-like?
No one can fill those shoes.
Shine shade.
Not really, right? I know. I agree.
Shining shade and marionating.
Yeah. Well, you know all the language, the lingo, so you could definitely be a good cover for him. So what's going on today? Let's talk about this ISIS stuff in Syria and the supposed head of ISIS being killed by our troops over the weekend. So this was obviously, it's obviously always good news when we take down a terrorist, which always makes me happy and feel a little bit safer. But again, I also know that ISIS is like cockroaches and they're all over the place. So it's kind of impossible to ever say that we see or ever willfully eradicate them. But I guess this is a good thing for Trump and a step in the right direction for him, especially amidst all of the Syria controversy and everybody criticizing him about Turkey and the Kurds and all of that. So I'm just really wondering, though, why he always has to make stuff up. So even in he's like the ultimate marketer. Like, I remember I was laying in bed on Saturday night and I saw announcement tomorrow, 9 a.m., like, blah, 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 big announcement. And I'm thinking to myself, like, what is he going to tell us? He's forever a commercial marketing guy, even in the presidency. And by 2 o'clock in the morning, like I said, I've had surgery. I was up laying in bed and I was reading online. It had obviously come out what had gone on. And it said that Baghdadi was killed.
You and I were both up at the same time.
Were you up? Were you reading all this news?
Yeah, I got up at 2:30 in the morning for an early morning producer shift at WCBS. And,
oh, gosh.
Yeah,
so what's early? Like
5:30.
What does that mean? Oh, 5:30. Okay,
5:30
yeah.
In the morning. But, you know, I got to get up, got to read the news. So woke up to that news and the president with the 9 a.m. press conference, which we took live. But, you know, it was a big win. It was actually surprising he took questions in that press conference because usually they walk on, they say their spiel, and they walk out, and he just kept taking questions, all on topic. But it was kind of, we went away from it, and they're like, oh, he's still there, he's still talking.
I guess he wanted to be on everyone's good side that morning. I don't know. I guess he figured he was happy about what happened, so why not be, like, amenable and have a good morning with the press? So I guess that's what he did. But, I mean, like I said, I'm happy that we're still trying to get these guys and eradicate this terrorism, but I'm just always laughing at how he makes it about himself, because then he was saying about how the guy was running scared and he was whimpering and crying. Meanwhile, we have absolutely no idea, because I mean, I don't know how many guys, but 5 people, I think, commented that were involved in some way, shape, or form and said they had no audio. So
very frightened puppies.
Yeah. Trump always makes stuff up. Like, he has to always go for the drama factor.
But you almost got to love it, though, in a way that, you know, belittling terrorists, you can't go wrong with that. I mean, okay, belittling a person, that's a little, you know, especially as a parent, and you don't want your kids to grow up with that. But belittling a terrorist, you can always do. You know, you
no,
can always,
you can
put
always
a
belittle
down.
A terrorist on any day on my watch. I'm just saying that he was lying about what he was saying, because there was no audio.
He was definitely definitely going over the top, you know, as he always does. He exaggerates, but...
Right, exactly.
But you almost had a laugh. Yeah, it was kind of funny. I mean, it was a win. But, you know, it's funny. One of our... so I get the tweets that come into us, and one of our listeners who listens every week tweeted... Well, I'd asked a Halloween question, which we'll get to, but... she said, what's with the presidential booing? And I don't think she's a Trump supporter. And I'm curious what you thought about the president
about the
World Series
game.
Yeah, and getting booed.
I think that it's embarrassing. I was watching it, obviously, on my phone. I'm not even there. And I felt mortified for him and for Melania. But at the same time, I mean, I understand... people, it's like what you say to your kids, like, two wrongs don't make a right. I really don't believe that just because he does things like that, that we should be doing or anybody else should reciprocate and with the same bad behavior, because then we just literally lower ourselves to the lowest degree of possible standards in life and we have no bar. So I don't like that. I think it's embarrassing. I think it's like uncouth and I'm glad I wasn't there, because you could literally feel the tension, and I felt it over a video that was hours and hours later. So I just think that we should raise ourselves up and not try to match each other in how much we can diss and dismiss and humiliate people. And that's the problem, though. He's just made it so that people think it's okay to do these things because he does these things, and he's sets the standard. He is the United States of he is the president of the United States. So people think, well, if he's doing it, then I'm going to do it. So I'm just curious as to when the tides will turn and it'll all end, because we've all regressed to elementary level school children with our behavior for the most part. And I'm just hoping that at some point we regress literally back to when we actually had some sort of civility and cared about how we looked. So, I mean, didn't you find it to be so childish and mortifying?
Yeah, when Obama and, you know, under his administration, they killed bin Laden. I remember watching the Mets game. They were playing the Phillies in Philadelphia. Everyone chanted USA. And as people
right,
got the news on their phone.
That's how it should be.
That's how
right?
it should be. And I said that right. morning at work, I said... they should be chanting USA tonight. Forget about who you support and whatever. They should be chanting USA. But it was almost...
No, but we're just so fractured, you know?
Right.
As God, a country.
God forbid you don't agree with somebody, you don't talk to them. You don't date someone if you don't agree with them. You're not friends with someone if you disagree politically because you can't maintain a friendship. It's really sad. And I saw it this election cycle... Trump's probably part to blame for it, but certainly the other side does not help their case. And when
definitely not.
When you can't go to a ball game and, you know, cheer for our country, it's really pathetic.
I mean, we all try to point the finger at Trump, but a lot of this divisiveness started during the Obama administration, and in a different way, though. You know, he wasn't out there tweeting and calling people names and stuff, but it was just, there was more of a class warfare and an attack on business. And I did feel that sometimes there was a bit of racial tension created by things that he might have said or inferred.
For sure.
So there, you know, it's not like that was total clear, that the Obama administration was clear of any sort of tensions or any sort of implied judgments, but I just feel like it's spiraled now into a whole new beast. It's a lot worse than it was before. So I think they've compounded each other, and now it's just really bad. So I don't think it's one side or the other. I think we've all hit a new low, you know? And I think we all have to look at ourselves and say, like, okay, is this about our country, or is this about hating our president so much, or hating whatever so much that we can't even be happy for ourselves as a country anymore?
I know.
So we have to do some soul searching, I think,
and
you know, me included.
I find that even people who love Trump, they're hateful in their rhetoric towards the other side. The left certainly does not want Trump to get any wins. I mean, they can't even give him credit for al-Baghdadi. I mean, I don't really remember when bin Laden died that Republicans didn't give Obama credit. They all did.
Right.
And the Situation Room picture, I mean, they were mocking it. I mean, look, everybody stages that Situation Room picture. I mean, it is what it is. You know, like, everyone stages it. It's just kind of funny because Trump, we grew up in an age that, you know, he's on reality TV. He's this reality TV star walking down, you know, the helicopter pad and flashing a thumbs up, and that's kind of what he does now. So to see him in that picture, it's humorous, you know? But sometimes you got to laugh at things, and then there are things that you can be outraged about. But to be outraged over everything, I just find that exhausting.
I know. You know what the thing about him is, though? I've thought about this long and hard, because I'm like, what is it that sets everybody off? It's just that he literally never tells the truth. And he is always so arrogant and nasty that it's really hard to be happy for him. Even if you want to be, and even if you are totally, say you're totally behind whatever it was that he just accomplished, he, as a person, it's just so hard to support him and cheer him on because he's so ungrateful and he lacks self-awareness completely and
right.
totally. And he's also a credit monger. You know what I mean?
Always needs credit.
Everything is his win and this and that. And so in life, if you know someone like that personally, it's so hard to get behind that person because you're like, dude, like, don't take yourself so seriously. You're not the greatest thing since sliced bread. And it's not always about you. And there's a bigger picture. And I think that's the thing, is that he rattles people and he gets into people's psyche on a personal level. Because everybody knows somebody like him, you know? And he's just a repeat offender. He's never gracious. He's never truthful and honest. He never shares the credit. So it's just really hard to cheer someone like that on. And I know you're a big Trump supporter, and Anthony was too in many ways. Still, some things he still, you know, agrees with him on. But it's just hard to really back someone 100% when they're not sharing, caring, or nice, you know?
Right. No, I get that.
I mean.
And look, for me, and, you know, I work in news, so it's, you know, I can't, I can't be as vocal as, like, I was in college, for
right.
instance. And I see
right.
both sides, like, you know, there were things in college that really frustrated me because it is indoctrination, and anyone who looks at it with a clear mind, you know, can see that because most of the, you know, your professors are liberal, and so it's very frustrating to be a conservative in college. But when you get out in the real world, and especially the world that I live in, that, you know, you have to work with people of all different beliefs, you have to put that aside. And if you let that ruin your judgment every day, if you let that run your life, you're just going to live pissed off. You're just going to be angry your entire life. And, you know, I think no one is 100%, and Anthony talks about this, no one is 100% on board with anybody. And if you are, there's a problem. I know he will give you quotes related to that. But, you know, if you agree 100% with someone, you need to see a psychologist, you know? And
yeah, he always says, if you agree with me I think Mayor Koch said, if
Mayor
you agree
Koch
with me
said
on
it, yeah.
7 out of 10 things, you should vote for me. If you agree with me on 10 out of 10, you should see your psychiatrist or something like
and
that.
And that's totally right. I mean, how could you just walk blindly supporting one person or supporting a set of beliefs? I mean, you know, when I went to, and I'm sure most people are like this, or they figure out what their belief system is. When I became a voting age, I looked at both parties and I said, this is where I agree more with, I'm going to register as this party. But I also didn't necessarily 100% agree with everything, and you can have mixed views. I mean, Anthony and you are socially liberal. I mean, who cares? You know, if that's how you live your life, yeah, whatever. But you the Republicans have to move past that. And I said that last election cycle, and Trump really was, in his rhetoric, unifying you know, towards gay marriage, and he spoke openly. He's got friends who are gay, and he, you know, and he supports that, and that people should be able to live however they want. But then, you know, he came into the administration. He's not enacting those policies, and it's almost like the swamp is controlling him in a way.
Well, politics always gets the best of you. Yeah, the swamp always sucks you in, and politics always becomes the thing that takes precedent and getting reelected and having your base vote for you and like you. Even if you sit there and say till the day is long that you're never going to succumb to that and cave and fold and you can't be bought, you will be, because right, that's just the laws of politics. And if we've seen that with anyone, it's Trump. We've seen it with him. I mean, he has just totally caved into this, to the whole system there. And if anything, he's actually almost worse than some people that came before him. So maybe he's suffering from beer body. Did you see that article?
I did. Isn't that something?
I mean,
his body makes
beer. I mean, I've read a lot about really weird and atypical bodily like things that happen to people, but this is definitely weird. So I was reading an article earlier. It said that a Staten Island man is suffering from a medical mystery, which is actually his body is brewing alcohol inside of itself without drinking or consuming any alcohol. And he's like living drunk because of his own body. So he's pulled over, accused of drunk driving in 2014. And his blood alcohol literally was 2.5 times over the legal limit. Can you imagine? And without having one drink. And so they did some research on him at Richmond University, found out there's yeast in his gut, and it's converting carbs in the food he eats to alcohol.
So do you feel drunk? Like one of my questions when I was reading this, like,
oh,
is
if he walks around feeling drunk?
Yeah, like, do you feel like, you know, like, is it that happy hour feeling, or is it just you feel like crap?
Yeah, I know, like, sluggish and hungover or something. I don't know. It says that he was exhibiting signs of inebriation. So even though he hadn't had anything to drink. So I think he probably did feel drunk, but maybe that was his normal. Maybe he didn't even realize anymore. You know, when you feel one way for so long, you don't even know you feel that way anymore.
Yeah, maybe. But maybe it's like a, you know, vertigo type thing.
Yeah, exactly. You kind of adapt, but he can't eat carbs, which is my worst nightmare.
Marinated.
So the oh my god, yeah, you can't have carbs marinating in the sound bites because it turns into beer. So should we just play a bunch of sound bites?
Yeah, I mean, if you want.
What is this skin product that I use? No underwear, no thong.
Oh my god.
So do you?
I miss him. I haven't seen him. He's a goner. I had my surgery. I woke up from the recovery room.
Did he send you flowers?
He didn't send me flowers.
What?
No,
that is so unlike Anthony.
To recover a little bit before I came home to our kids, because I needed to like sleep and recover. But once we got home, he was out of here, and I haven't seen or heard from him since. So he is in the Middle East, though, so it's different time zone, and
he's probably doing the sword dance or something.
He's trying to survive over there.
Maybe Anthony has beer body. Imagine
he acts like he does, but I don't know. But
like
now he's on keto, so he doesn't eat carbs.
He's been suffering with that. I don't know how he deals with that. I wouldn't be able to go without carbs. I mean, I had pasta last night.
Yeah, I don't know. I always try to tell him that he should, like, just eat less of everything, and then he could have everything.
Portion control,
never
yeah.
Like Yeah, but neither one of us are good at that. We're like all or nothing. We go hard. The Scaramucci's go hard. So, all right, let's talk about something else. So it's Halloween this week. So Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I heard it's supposed to rain all day in New York too. So I'm kind of dreading that.
I know. I'm supposed to go to this bar for my sister's birthday, and I'm like, I gotta go.
It's her birthday.
It's her birthday on Halloween. So I never treated it like I never got dressed up or anything. I mean, I did as a kid, but I didn't. You know, as soon as I was of age, like, I really didn't enjoy it. So I'm looking forward to celebrating her birthday. But, you know, with the rain and everything, I don't want to carry an umbrella. It's like, you know, when you go out, you don't want to be carrying an umbrella.
So you're going to a bar that's inside, I'm assuming, no?
Well, yeah, it's on the Upper East Side.
All right, so just get to the place, ditch the umbrella.
Throw it out.
I don't know, leave it by the front door. If it's there when you get back, great. If not, then go home and dry off.
I was, I'm going to be in a suit all day, as you know, which I wear a suit every day. But I was actually thinking of when you went to, I guess you go every year to see the ball drop, and it was pouring rain last year.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy.
And you and Anthony were soaked.
Yes, that was crazy. That was this past New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully that won't happen again. But now it's raining on Halloween, so Nikki is already asking, are we still going to go trick-or-treating? Are we this and that? Meanwhile, so I had sinus surgery. I have a cast on my nose, and I can't get the cast wet. And so I'm in a little bit of a debacle here because I have to figure out how to, like, maybe I could come up with some sort of costume where my head is covered. I can go with, like, a paper bag over my head.
Well, you could be a Cleveland Browns fan.
Why? What do they wear?
They always put brown paper bags on their heads because they never win any games.
Oh, my God. How did I never know that?
Yeah, if you Google Browns fan, and you don't even have to Google brown paper bag. It'll just come up.
Okay,
they're notorious for that. They cut holes for the eyes and the mouth. Yeah, you should.
Okay, randomly, I'm going to be a Browns fan, so nobody think I'm weird if they see pictures of me. But that's to preserve and conserve the nose brace that I'm wearing. And this year, I was supposed to be, like, our whole family got Spider-Man costumes. So everybody, even down to Baby Mooch, we all have Spider-Man. And Anthony has a Spider-Man Avengers Endgame costume. Let's see if he wears it.
We got to see that.
I know.
You've got to put that on our Instagram page.
Let's see if he even wears it, because last year we were all the Incredibles. I was Elastigirl, and our kids were like Dash and I forgot the other one, and Baby Jack-Jack or whatever. Anthony was supposed to be Mr. Incredible, and his Halloween costume from last year is still hanging as is in the plastic in our closet. So let's see if he even puts it on this year or disappoints us again. I have it odds, like, you know, I think he's not going to wear it. I would
if
pretty much
guess.
Put the house on.
Robot.
If I had to guess, I would say no. What do you think?
Yeah, I can't picture him doing it. He'll probably escape and, you know, have to be on CNN or something.
Ditch us for Halloween, but because he'll be in big trouble, but because he's been away for like a week. But if he doesn't wear that costume, I can live with that. But he better not. He needs to go trick-or-treating with my kids. They're waiting to come back.
Yeah, I bet they miss him. I mean, I remember when we were at Salt in Las Vegas and, you know, Nikki and James are following him around, especially Nikki, though. Nikki just is, you know, he is his father to a T.
Oh, my God. I asked him. So he's obsessed with Pokemon. So 2 days ago, he literally, so it's after the surgery. I'm like all drugged up. I just got home. I'm like so tired and not feeling well. And I'm like in pain laying down. And he's literally talking my ear off about Pokemon. Mom, which Pokemon do you think looks the coolest? Which, blah, 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 all the stuff. Meanwhile, I couldn't care less about Pokemon, and I know nothing about them, but I try to, like, humor him and answer him. So I asked him, is there anything else in a day that you think about besides Pokemon? And he goes, yeah. I think about Pokemon, and I think about Daddy. I was like, okay. So I didn't tell Anthony, but I thought that was so funny. He, like, daydreams about Anthony. Isn't that cute?
That's really cute. Yeah, that's really sweet.
I think
he
like, idolizes him. So I'll tell Anthony to live it up until he realizes that his dad
Anthony's head's going to get pretty big.
It's already big. So
I slather it on.
Yeah, he does. So
hope he brought a skincare routine.
His skincare routine, his ego, he slathers it all on. So, I mean, I know you don't have kids yet because you're so young, but
I hope I don't have kids.
Hopefully, not that you know of.
Right.
But do you find it, like, freaky that there are actually people out there that poison candy and put poison in candy?
Yeah, it's really scary. And, you know, when I read that, it was alarming. And I thought of, you know, when I was growing up, I wasn't even allowed to eat the Halloween candy because my parents were actually very protective. And they would just buy us, you know, the candy that we want. And we would do the trick-or-treating, but you just cannot be careful enough. And you really, I mean, there are certain people, you know, you can trust, you know, around the neighborhood, you know, who you're friends with or whatever. But, you know, we read a story, Middle Township, New Jersey, there was heroin in a kid's candy bag. I mean, imagine you're a kid going trick-or-treating and heroin lands in there. You just don't know what kind of creeps are out there.
No, I mean, like, what the hell is wrong with people? Who would ever want to do that to a kid? I don't get
it. To anybody.
It's so bizarre. To anybody, but especially a young, innocent kid. Well, the thing about our house is, I don't tell my kids this, but Anthony and I go to, like, Walgreens or CVS, and we buy every type of Halloween candy there is to give away, first of all, but also I keep it in our house. So when we get home, I know this sounds like neurotic and crazy, I dump out whatever they got from whoever trick-or-treating, and I just give them the stuff that I bought. So
you're
they
smart.
Think it's, yeah, they don't know the difference, you know, and it is all the same stuff, or if not better. So they're fine and happy, and I know that it's, you know, quote-unquote safe, hopefully. You know, hopefully nobody's gone into the store and done anything or at the, you know, processing plant. But from what I can tell, it's, you know, all good. So for now, they're young enough where that still works. That's my thing. So
you can't be careful.
If any parent wants to know, do that.
Just yeah, you can't be over everything. Careful.
No, yeah. Just, I mean, you don't want to be neurotic, but you just also want to be safe and take precautions. So there are a lot of wackos out there. So
yeah,
if anybody wants a tip, that's a tip from Mrs. Mooch.
There you go, a Mrs. Mooch tip. I mean, there are even stories I was reading over the weekend in South Carolina, and there are other states as well that do this, that sexual predators are mandated to report to a certain location. And they keep tally of all of the sexual predators in the neighborhood. They don't want them out on Halloween.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's so many things. Like, if you thought about all this stuff, you couldn't drive yourself absolutely crazy, especially if you
wouldn't leave
kids.
The house.
I know, you wouldn't. So I just have to kind of
dragging their testicles
everything.
On the floor.
Yeah, we drag our testicles on the floor. That makes everything better.
Right.
And we just have to kind of take it one day at a time and rationalize and try to not be so crazy, because we could drive ourselves nuts with all that goes on.
What is your favorite candy? What is Mrs. Mooch snacking on at night when Anthony goes to bed?
Oh, my God. So I love salty snacks. When Anthony goes to bed, I usually eat, like, chips, like Doritos and Cheetos and stuff like that. But if I
you
have
got Cheeto stain on your hands?
Yeah, I got Cheeto stains on my hands. I love salty snacks. I love salt and vinegar potato chips. I'm crazy. But
I love boobs.
Yeah, and I love boobs too. But I can't eat them. So when I want a sweet snack, I love M&Ms. I love dark chocolate M&Ms. I love peanut M&Ms. And I love Kit Kats.
Kit Kats.
And especially now they have
so
dark
long.
Chocolate Kit Kats. Oh, my God. Love them.
Dark chocolate's
especially
great.
Dark chocolate Kit Kats in the freezer are amazing.
Wow.
So Anthony's favorite thing is Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Oh,
and he puts
you can't
them in the
beat
freezer.
That. I love that, too.
Yeah. I mean, it's so good. But he's on keto, so he doesn't eat that anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
So poor Anthony. He's missing out on the good things in life.
A couple of our listeners, they mentioned peanut M&Ms.
Yeah,
and Hershey
can't
Kisses.
Go wrong with that. You know, it's a very good, like, undercover thing that most people never think of, but they're good, and I get them at the movies a lot. Snow caps.
Snow caps.
Do you ever have a snow cap?
Maybe a while ago. I don't even eat that much candy, honestly. I'm not a big candy guy. If anything, it's chocolate. You know, I like chocolate. But then I notice I get some acne. I'm like, I can't be eating this every day.
I don't know. Is that real? Is that a real thing?
I don't know. I unscientifically think that that it does happen. When I have chocolate like 2 or 3 days in a row, you know, if there's like a chocolate bar in the house and, you know, you have like a little piece of dark chocolate, I feel like I get acne.
You break out?
Yeah.
Well, snow caps are chocolate. They're like chocolate chips covered in like white nonpareils. They're really good.
You know what's scary? But that Thanksgiving is already here in a couple of weeks, and then it's going to be Christmas. Like, the holidays are already here.
I know, but I love the holidays. Yeah. I'm excited for them. It's fun. It's a fun time of year.
This
Hopefully
year will probably
everybody
be good for you and Anthony. I mean, last year was the first holidays after everything went down.
So
at least calmer, right?
We're moving past all of our nonsense.
Well,
yeah.
You've moved past it. You guys are really good together. What people don't realize is how, you know, he's FaceTiming you constantly. I mean, you guys are really good
together. We're very good. I'm just happy to like I said, I think I've said this to you before and to our listeners before, that the farther away I get from 2017, the happier I am. So the fact that it's going to be 2020 is a good thing.
Yeah,
I'm excited for that.
We all have things in our lives. We all move past it, you know, and you just got to kind of keep looking forward, you know, and obviously you guys have exemplified that. You know, you guys really, I think what this podcast has developed into, and we talked about this on the anniversary show in September, it's really become a vehicle for unity. Forget about the politics. Obviously, we do all the politics of it. And, you know, it's kind of funny how that's evolved. I had to change the intro for the fact that Anthony doesn't, you know, support Trump anymore.
Oh, my God, I know.
You know, so to make it calmer.
A lot has changed.
But you guys really serve as a good example for people who are just, you know, everyday people who are trying to make it work, who, you know, are supporting their kids, working hard. And, you know, you don't necessarily agree with each other. And you know what? That's okay. You don't have to subscribe to groupthink.
No, we like our life the way it is. I mean, it's more interesting not to be always of the same thought and mind. I mean, that gets a little bit boring and monotonous. So yeah, we definitely keep it interesting here. But
your husband farted in his mouth?
Oh, my God. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
I was reading about this as an abrupt change of topic,
yeah.
But in terms of marriage, I was reading about Pope Francis and kind of putting it out there to the public about potentially allowing priests to marry. And I know that there's a whole bunch of specifics, like you have to be, I don't know, something about a bishop or marry as bishops or something. I don't know, whatever.
Well, there
a certain spot in the world.
Yeah,
right?
The bishops in the Amazon, saw this whole thing on TV actually about it, that the bishops in the Amazon are dealing with a major priest shortage. I mean, we have one here in the U.S., but, you know, generally, like in my parish, we have 2 priests, and generally there are, you know, there's at least a priest or two in each parish. In the Amazon, people who are religious are actually hopping in canoes to travel miles across, you know, down rivers, and they're getting in helicopters just to go to a church where there's a priest. I mean, that's how dire the circumstances are. And I think a lot of people there said that if they would be able to maintain their family life, they're married and had kids and they don't have to be celibate, they would preach, you know? And,
right.
And so there's a major debate going on in the U.S. about that. But the church is obviously very traditional. And I don't know, I go back and forth on it. I mean, you know, but with that, the whole sex scandal with priests, you start to wonder, you know, maybe if they, you know, were, you know, getting some, for lack of a better term, if they were married, yeah, you know, maybe they wouldn't be looking for that elsewhere.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, well, Anthony was born and raised Catholic. I was born and raised Lutheran. We were raising our children Catholic because Anthony wanted to, and I'm fine with that. But I know people like tradition and they like to go by the book and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I never really understood the idea. I mean, I know these priests are supposed to be devoting their life to God and basically just focus on that and be married to him. But that's really, if you think about it, at the end of the day, that defies all laws of human nature and doesn't make for, it's a very sacrificial life, which I get it. That's what it's, the priesthood is supposed to be about. But it doesn't make for a better priest. It actually makes for probably somebody who's more unhappy, because it's unnatural to be human and be antisocial and not involved in a unit per se, like a family unit in any way, shape, or form. So I think growing up Lutheran, I always had pastors and they were always married and they always had kids, and it made them more relatable. It made them more well adjusted. They knew what people were going through. They could advise on marriage from a standpoint of actually being in a relationship.
Yeah, it's called life
experience. It's very hard to relate to people when you're a standalone person who's had no personal relationships and no intimate relationships. That's like very, very hard to do. And
tell people what to do. I mean, actually, ironically, I'm great at advice. I'm just not good at taking my own advice. And
well,
frankly,
that's how we all live.
Right. But who the hell would listen to me? I mean, based on, you know, it's not like I'm, you know, Mr. Wonderful, you know, when it comes to relationships. But, you know, you give advice to people and you hope for the best for them. But priests literally have nothing to go off of.
Right. They're just basically going off of the golden rule or the Ten Commandments or
what they've been told.
What did you say?
It has its place, but
yeah,
you know, life experience is certainly unmatched.
Right. And I just think that it's helpful in that way. And it's just, it's more conducive. Like the person is more apt to go be a priest if he knows that he could also have a loving relationship in his life and be surrounded by warmth and family. It's very stoic and old world to be locked up in a tower and just devote yourself fully to God. You have to be a very different type of person for that, you know? So I think in many ways it would be a good thing. And it also might reduce, like you said, some of the sex scandal, because I feel like it's not natural to be celibate and it drives people crazy after a while. I'm not making excuses.
Right.
That doesn't mean you should go and prey on people or especially children.
But there's a lot of temptation out there.
Right. There's got to be some reason that it's so rampant. You know what I mean? It's not a one-off thing. It's got to be, there's got to be a reason why it's happening in large numbers in that demographic. So I think it's something to think about. And I like the fact that this Pope thinks about these things, or at least brings them up and puts them out there for people to think about, and isn't stuck in the old kind of old world thinking where he can't ever get out of the box and put anything out there. So I'm happy that he's doing this and at least talking about things, even if he doesn't do things right away, at least he's putting it out there, because I feel like we need to move forward in many ways.
The church is kind of stuck. You know, and it's sad. Like, you know, I go to church and most of them are older. We do have a deacon who's been giving homilies. So that's kind of good, because you get his, you know, he's got kids and, you know, has life experience there. It's a major difference when somebody who actually can speak from a place of experience on that, you know, than getting someone who's just preaching from the Bible. And look, there are a lot of great priests out there and a lot of holy people, but certainly the scandals that have gone on, it really has tarnished the church's reputation. I mean, you can't deny that.
Yeah, very much so. And which is sad, but true.
Did you see, so on a similar front, we've had similar conversations about this, me, you, and Anthony, mostly me and you, but this research, Psychology Today, that women find that most men aren't worth marrying.
Yeah, I saw that. So, I mean, that's the funny thing is, like, I have a lot of single friends and they all go on these online dating things.
That's the
and
worst.
It's all, oh my God, they have terrible experiences. And the stuff that they tell me is pathological. Like, you know, they've dated people who have lied to them about their identity.
Tim Apple.
Tim Apple, yes. Tim Apple's out there himself Tim Apple, not Tim Cook.
My testicles are a lot smaller than Jim's.
There's guys out there saying that. Right. You know what I mean? Like, there's just people that literally have dual personalities.
An alter ego.
Or dual lives. Like, they have wives and children or husbands and children, and they're on these sites, like, and acting like they're somebody else with a totally different name, and it's actually scary. So,
what do your friends do when they get in that situation?
I mean, you don't even know the amount of stories. I could write like a small book on this stuff.
Mooch on dating.
On dating. No, it's pretty scary, actually. Yeah. I always say to them,
especially
like,
for women.
Yes. Don't meet up with people unless someone knows where you are and it's in like a very public place. And please don't go home with anybody away because
that's
God
all they're
only
looking
knows
for.
Where you are. What?
That's all they're looking for anyway, if you
that's
let
all they're
them
looking
in on the
for,
first
right.
date.
Right, and it's just, but if you're seriously really looking for somebody and you're a halfway decent human being, according to this research, it's saying that based on education level and income, like, it's mismatched, that they can't find men who have completed a certain level of school and are making any sort of money. Like, even if it's not great, they're still not they're not on par with each other. So I don't know. I mean, I would be fine marrying somebody who didn't have to be like a scholar or a gazillionaire, but I just want them to tell me who the hell they really are.
Yeah, honesty.
You know what? Yeah, and be
I'm actually a very honest guy.
Oh my God, please. Yeah, I mean, imagine him on a dating site, Trump, like, he'd lie his ass off too. He'd say he's 180. 6'5", 180.
Big fat baby Trump.
Baby Trump. Oh, you know what's so funny? Whenever you play these clips, I'm like, what was I even saying or doing there? Why would I be
doing
that?
You were, I think, in Hawaii on that one. And it's funny because they do the baby shark at the Nationals games. And I was in Washington in August. I think I told you the story. 14-inning game, longest game of the season. I'm with my friends and they do baby shark when the Geraldo Parra bats for the Nationals. And they did it like 3 times. And I'm like, what in the world? And so now you see it on TV in the World Series. And the whole stadium does it. But when I hear baby shark, I think of baby Trump.
Why did I say that? I don't even know.
I don't know. I know why. It was the baby Trump blimp, and I think you were talking about whether that's disrespectful
in London,
or whatever. Maybe. Yeah, was it London?
Yeah.
They've done it all over.
Big fat baby Trump.
Baby Trump. Well, at least I'm on key.
You are.
Don't sound too bad there. Today I'm not on key because I'm super nasally. I literally sound like I have a clothespin on my nose. So, all the single ladies out there, I don't know, honey. We got to hope for the best for you guys, because based on this research, it ain't looking good.
Uncle Neil.
So, and Uncle Neil is actually one of the good ones. So
I appreciate that.
We should put a 10-point bulletin out on you. See if anybody comes to call on.
Hey, I'm afraid of Anthony knowing any details. He'll come right on the podcast and do a tell-all like The Bachelor.
Your mother. He'll tell your mother.
Right, he goes up to her at the event and starts, you know, talking about things.
Well, too in funny. Keeping with the spiciness, this whole Katie Hill thing.
Sexual escapades.
She's apparently...
She's gallivanting, huh?
I don't know what she's doing, but I just feel bad. Like, she must be very sad today for herself because...
She's 32. And
she's young.
Relationship allegedly with a male staffer that she's denied. She did admit to having a relationship with a female staffer, and the pictures are online. And it's like, you know, when you see that, a congresswoman, I mean, yes, we've seen other people, Anthony Weiner comes to mind, but it's just like, don't we expect better of people, you know, especially in political office?
Well, that's the thing. So, like, we're talking about the church, we're talking about political office, the president. I don't know if it's because I'm now 40 and I'm middle-aged and I've seen some stuff and I've lived, or it really is this way, but I feel like I'm becoming less keen on humans, and I have this gnawing sense that they're not as great as they should be ever. So whether you're a police officer, a priest, a president, a brain surgeon, an astronaut, whatever you are, I feel like for some reason we are all lacking, greatly lacking, morals and things that I always saw people had. And I think I was a fool. I don't know, because my parents taught me to be a stand-up person and to follow rules. Like, I know I sound like a complete and total nerd right now. Never cut corners, always tell the truth. And of course, I'm human, so of course, have I ever told a lie? Absolutely. Have I ever broken a rule? 100%. But I think, in general, I'm somebody that I'm proud to say I am, and I think that I have stepped it up even more since I've had kids, because I want to be an example to them, and I never want to let them down, and I want to be the person they think that I am.
Of course.
So, but I think a lot of the times that's not what's happening. Like, I read Catch and Kill over the weekend, their new Ronan Farrow book, because I was laid up, so I listened to the book on tape. And I cannot believe the complicity and just the sexual, like, deviance and the nonsense that goes on in this world and what people get away with and what people like and are into. I'm like, yeah. Who are these people?
Can we talk about sex at some point?
Yeah. So, I mean, even Mooch, like, he's out there, but he's not that out there.
No, and I mean, so, that's the funny thing. He's nothing compared to how some of these people are behind the scenes, you know? I mean, they don't show it, you know? And that's the thing, is you really, sometimes you just don't know.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, he and I are outwardly nuts, but inwardly, we're really not, you know?
Right.
So I think it's like how they always say,
always opposites.
The quiet ones.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like
it's kind of true, right? Yeah, like you're probably swinging from the chandeliers on the weekends. But,
oh, you know it.
But you know what I'm saying? I just feel like, I don't know if it's me, but I just feel like I've been highly disappointed by people's behavior, and people that I always thought were amazing or whatever it is, I've been crestfallen time after time learning of something they've done or something they've said or whatever it is.
Yeah, you shouldn't be looking up to people. See, that's the thing. Like, Trump, I agree with President Trump on a lot of issues. I disagree on some. I agree with him on others. And I think generally most people feel that way in terms of agreeing with certain things, disagreeing. And a lot of it comes with this personality. But you can't, you know, you can't just be, you know, all in for somebody and like looking at them like a hero, because they're going to let you down time and time again. I mean, I always said, like, put politics aside, look at sports, you know, and you root for a guy like Barry Bonds, and he, you know, and then he gets busted for steroids, or
right.
Roger Clemens. Even Derek Jeter, I always thought he was a great role model. I don't know him personally, but even, like, you know, would I be disappointed if something were to come out? Yeah, I would. And nobody's perfect, you know? David Wright, I mean, we had him on this podcast. I think he's a really great guy. I come very short ever of looking at someone like a hero, because you do that, you're going to be let down time and time again.
Right. I mean, I think we live in a society where we're basically always assuming the worst and waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I just find that unfortunate, because it's sad that we can't ever think that somebody is as tried and true as we think they are, you know? And there are people out there that definitely are, but I think they're few and far between. And what I think people mix up is about the good old days is that the people were just as shady and shisty and corrupt and all this as they are today. It wasn't this, like, goody two-shoes, like, you know, how they make it out to be, as people would like to make it out to be. Mm-hmm. But there wasn't this, like, social media and people, investigative journalists, and there wasn't these probing, you know, I don't know, whatever it is out there trying to always bust somebody doing something. Now you can't get away with anything. So we know everybody's shortcomings and everybody's negative features and faults, and everything is out there for the whole world to see. So I don't think that we're living in that different of a time. I just think everybody is so much more out there now that it's kind of hard to hide.
And so, you must be concerned for your kids, too, because they make one mistake online and they're branded for the rest of their life. And we've done stories where, you know, somebody who's a grown adult and they do something stupid, you know, when they're in eighth grade, or they tweet something that's inconsiderate or, you know, is borderline racist by today's standards, and they're shunned from society because of something
when
they're
preteen.
Well,
I mean, that's like the Katie Hill thing, right?
Ongoing. But, yeah, I mean, look, a relationship
like a
with somebody is not.
A text and a this, and all of a sudden, you know, now she's busted and she's fallen from grace and she's out of her job, you know?
But as someone in political office, I mean, you know, especially when she's been vocal about, you know, how terrible Trump is and lack of morals, and then, you know, you're acting like this as someone who, just as a politician, you would hope that they would respect our country better, that they would be more moral. And look, I mean, Trump's got his moral issues. Everybody. You know, battles with their inner self. But, you know, it's disappointing. If that was your congresswoman, I mean, you just like, you know, it's scary.
I mean, again, unfortunately, I've come to expect very little from most people. But it is a sorry state of affairs when that's how I roll. But maybe I'm just a pessimist. I don't know. Maybe other people don't think like that, but I've come to expect very little from most people, especially people I don't know and people who have themselves out there doing this, that, and the other thing. So,
have you become more jaded?
Probably, because I've seen a lot of stuff go on, you know? And that's just with life and with age, I think that happens. And it's not like it's made me a bitter person or anything. I just have more realistic expectations of people. You know, I keep my circle small. Anthony and I were talking about this the other day. We were reading Michelle Obama's book, and, you know, she specifically said that they learned exactly who their friends were and they kept everything small.
You have
and
to.
Tight. Right. And that's how I am. Like, my family, my friends from back in the day, and a few new ones, and that's it, because I just feel like most people are not who they are or claim to be, and most people are not true and genuine, and that's fine, but I just like to keep people around me that I know are, and I don't think you need a gazillion people in your life. You just need really good friends, and that's how we roll. So
yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
It's not like I'm, you know, bitter about it. I just am realistic about it, if that makes sense.
Well, especially when you're in your position, I mean, everyone wants a piece of you. I mean, I've seen it. I mean, look, when and the whole thing when Trump started, or really when Trump tweeted at Anthony, and we were, the three of us expected it. I just, you know, when it happened, my phone started blowing up, and I'm laughing because people, and I told you, people I haven't spoken to in years, you know, all of a sudden they know exactly who I am. And I'm like, you know, who the hell are you? Like, you know what I mean? And there's a reason why you're not close to me. And the people who are close to me, they left me alone because they know that it's like, you know, it's whatever. You know, it's not, it's work. And, you know, and for people to come out of the woodwork expecting, I don't know what they're expecting, access or whatever, it's like, just back off. You know, like you're not in my circle. And, you know, and that's the thing. You see, you know, who people are when things happen to you, for good or for worse.
Right. Yep. Most of the time it's very clear. And most people are very transparent. You could see what their intentions are, you know.
Exactly.
So, but that's just something that I think we all learn as we go through life. And I don't ever want to teach my kids to be jaded or guarded or anything, because I feel like you miss out on a lot of life if you act that way or you feel that way. So I just hopefully they'll understand what it means to be a true friend, and they'll have people reciprocate. So
like the Golden Girls.
My two cents. Yeah, like the Golden Girls.
Oh, I can't wait to see Baby Mooch
like
in this costume.
Oh yes. Well, I'll be tweeting. Like I said, I'll have a bag over my head, and I'll send you a picture of Anthony in his tight spandex Spider-Man.
No underwear, no thong.
No underwear, no thong. And we'll be back next Tuesday, right? I'll be in the studio. By then, I'll be fully recovered. And
Tuesday, you're both supposed to be together. So hopefully that's the case.
Yep, Tuesday, November 5th. We'll see you next Tuesday. And I'm looking forward to seeing everybody back with us. Thanks for being on with me, Uncle Neil.
Oh, you got it. Anytime, Mrs. Moose. Love you.
Thanks. Love you, too. Bye.
It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.